What a privilege it is to be with these executives from our studios. You know, over the years, when we started with a group of CIOs, we got the CTOs to come along, the chief marketing officers to come along, then the financial CFOs to come along. Recently, we got the CSOs to come along, the chief security officers, and we were saving the best for the last. Simply because I've been so overwhelmed by the technology solutions that are out there from the service providers and technology enablers, I wondered how the strategic sourcing people were able to vet them, select them, bring them on board. So I really feel privileged to have all of you. If I had to speak on your behalf, I'd be talking this entire afternoon. They know me well enough. So may I call upon each one of you to introduce yourself and shed a little light on your current engagement that would be of great relevance to the rest of us. So Emma, please. I'm right-handed, as you know. So,
hi, everybody. I know you're all hungry, so...
Hungry for what you say.
My name is Emma Shantos. I was the former SVP of Global Sourcing for Paramount Pictures. I was there for 10 years. I was responsible for a portfolio of around $3 billion in what we call addressable spend, and that went everything from production all the way through to distribution, so the entire supply chain. We worked with our stakeholders to support them.
Donna?
Oh, thank you. I'm Donna Osiri. I'm the Vice President of Strategic Sourcing for CBS, covering production, post-production, content, the content distribution cycle, and recently marketing. It's a really interesting category, so to speak, because it covers everything from technology to creative to dealing with all kinds of different people. So from a sourcing perspective, I lead the team that interacts with all these different types, and we rely on a lot of subject matter experts on the team, as well as, you know, some of the things that I bring to the table. And it's really getting people together, getting suppliers that are in this room together with our stakeholders. Many of you are also stakeholders for your various companies, and really kind of bringing that message together to work for better costs, better efficiencies, and increased communications. So that's kind of what we're all about in strategic sourcing for CBS.
My French connection.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Sebastian Sleck. I'm the executive director for Time Warner Global Sourcing. So I lead the team of global sourcing in the marketing area. And marketing for us ranges from media to research and anything in between, that is creative, publicity, print, data and digital more than ever. And so we are helping our marketing stakeholders achieving the best value from their agency or technology partners, and also preparing them through the digital transformation that is happening in front of our eyes. So there's more than ever technology involved into marketing. We call it MarTech. And so we're helping them selecting their best partner in that area.
Leon.
Good afternoon. Leon Pilosoff, SVP, Head of Procurement at Lionsgate. Previously, I headed up global sourcing at Warner Brothers for 16 years, and a couple years ago joined Lionsgate, illustrating the benefit of procurement and M&A activity as we were acquiring the Starz network, and have been building the procurement function from ground zero, establishing new talent, processes, and technology to support the growing company and the siloed environments that were there. And same scope of spend in terms of content supply chain, corporate services, and all of the marketing spend.
So just to caution you, you will not get an opportunity like this often in your life. So please be ready with your questions. Raise your hand, interrupt me. That will not be rude, but I'll get started here. We went from analog to digital. We made all kinds of transformation. When I look at you, and I've been working or interacting with many of you, you created a massive transformation in strategic sourcing itself, in what we used to call purchasing once upon a time. Would you be kind enough to shed some light, particularly in the context of what we are all about, innovation and technology? How has your role changed? Emma, please.
I think for us, you know, a lot of time when you think about strategic sourcing or procurement, you're thinking about three bids and a buy. You know, you're thinking about a group that supports the decision process. The evolution at Paramount was really going from a reactive to a proactive group where, you know, an example to give you an idea of some of our focus, you know, we looked at a title and we mapped it across the entire supply chain. And it was the first time we'd ever done that before. And through tracking this title, we looked at a couple of things. We looked at the systems, the technology, the vendors, the spend, the time. And that was a big driver for us to really understand that disparate systems, disparate vendors, there was a lot of siloed decision making. So part of what we've been doing, especially when we talk about innovation, was it meant that we had to be much more proactive in looking at our legacy vendors and where their technology was evolving, as well as being very open to the emerging vendors. So in terms of innovation, we began to take an incredibly proactive role with production in the cloud, with the marketing component of it. And I think that's where we started to shift to really get into how do we enable and how do we bridge the gap between corporate IT and our creative groups.
CBS, you're still CBS? Good?
As far as I check.
Donna?
If I could, I want to throw it out to the audience really quickly and find out just a show of hands. How many people would what I call, you know, suppliers or service providers? Just hands. All right, great. How many are at a media company or, you know, what I call a stakeholder? Any kind of stakeholders? Great. And then any sourcing folks? All right. Wow, a couple. All right, great. I wanted to kind of get a feel of you know, who's in the audience and stuff. But it's a really good balance, and that's kind of what we are trying to achieve, is a balance between, you know, what our suppliers have and do and what our stakeholders need, right? And sometimes a stakeholder is looking at a very micro need of theirs as opposed to a macro look of what the entire company needs, looking at stuff from upstream to downstream technology and how to, you know, shrink some of those windows and manage some of those costs. So if you're a content creator, if you're someone who's working with a deadline, all you really care about is meeting that deadline and finding someone who can help you with that deadline. But, you know, from a risk perspective, from a cost perspective, from an enterprise perspective, that's what strategic sourcing is brought in to do. And I think with a lot of new technology, there isn't time for people who are working their day-to-day jobs that aren't about technology to go out and find these solutions. So attending things like NAB, events like this, and finding out what's out there, what's new, what's on the bleeding edge, what's on the leading edge, and if we are risk-averse to trying out some of these technologies, what are the benefits and what are the, you know, what are the cost implications? But overall, it's really trying to get that balance between our stakeholders and our suppliers to get a solution, you know, in place.
Thank you.
I would add onto that for the past, let's say, 6 years, marketing has, went through a big digital transformation. You've all heard about programmatic media buy, which started, a couple of years ago. And sourcing was trying to help as well from the traditional side to make that transition into more digital side of it. After that, there was a big wave of, connecting the dots. We got all the data from that programmatic media buy, but what are we doing with it? So we started, helping the teams between WB, HBO, and Turner to connect the dots because we're talking to the same consumer at the end of the day. So we find ourselves very, involved into developing a sourcing process to find who are the right partner to make that identity management capabilities possible within Time Warner to connect the dots of the data. Now, fast forward, of course, we have more data than ever, and we need to mine the data, and the help of AI comes along. Blockchain now also is coming this year with helping on the fraud and transparency side from advertising perspective. So we're helping marketing marketeers and marketing stakeholders to adopt those new technologies which are going to help them being more efficient and render the advertising dollar more efficient in their budgets. So this is a big, long story of where we were coming from, and we're still, of course, selecting agencies on the creative and publicity and media side, but now we're helping more the marketing folks to deal with the data which they have to build better audiences, to reach and target better their consumers, and get more effectiveness in their advertising dollar.
I just heard that purchasing is connecting the dots between blockchain and advertising and marketing.
We're trying.
Let that be recorded. Leon.
Yes, in the progression of purchasing, initially it was singularly focused on cost reduction, and now we've progressed where our key objectives are being trusted advisors to our stakeholders and focusing on revenue growth. And that's how we're going to build relationships. In terms of the talent skills that we're looking at, it's no longer getting three bids and a cloud of dust, but we're looking at talent that has strong relationship building skills, business acumen to deal with more complex sourcing and deals in this dynamic environment, and also proficiency in technology, whether it be a technologist or marketing. We'd rather teach the sourcing and have them bring in the skills so they can speak marketing and technology with the appropriate stakeholders in order for us to be sought after as they go after improved value across their goods and services.
You brought up two really interesting points that James Toney brought up this morning from Fox, where he talked about raising the ceiling, which is raising the revenue, at the same time managing the cost. And if I may just deal with the two aspects, and let me deal with the more traditional aspect of cost. Because we have had a legacy of high cost production, high failure rates, long time for production to be completed, et cetera, et cetera. That's what Hollywood has been. From your strategic point of view, what would be a couple of areas where you think cost can be reduced significantly? One or two areas in the different business segments. And you may be right, you may be wrong.
Well, we've recently been focusing on physical production. We had a strategy before where we put all these deals in a production manual that nobody looked at. The UPM's production coordinators basically filed it. Now it's all about engaging firsthand at time of green light, working with the UPMs and the production coordinators, look at their entire supply chain for physical production, and engaging them on a project basis where auctions, whether it be Japanese or Dutch or standard reverse auctions, can help, and what the best strategy at the time of purchase as opposed to overarching deals which are worthless to them.
If I may pick on you, Emma, if I recall, there were some initiatives in your final years at Paramount where you brought about a revenue increase. Would you share one or two of them?
Yeah, I mean, you get to a point where you've taken care of corporate sourcing G&A, and now you start to get into the hot areas, the political areas, which is production and marketing. Which usually they've marched to the beat of their own drum, so there's a lot of work to get in front of them for them to trust you and bring value to that process. For us, how we started to really look at revenue opportunities was the monetization of our assets and how we can, you know, you look at Paramount's catalog. I had the pleasure of, for the first time, looking at the Soul Train photos that had never been seen before. I'd never seen anything like that coming from England. It was amazing, the costumes. But we looked at how do we tag those? How do we monetize them? How do we utilize or reutilize assets? You know, when you do a movie, you do an asset or you have an asset, whether it's a still, whether it's footage, whether it's a contract, and you start all over again. So how do we leverage that? It's not so much on the revenue side, but more reutilization of assets. But on the revenue side, we also started to look at product placement. You know, if I'm managing the deals with American Airlines, Why not? Let's talk about, which was my first one, was up in the air. You know, let's talk about how can we do some type of strategic partnering with the airlines, or not with Apple because they don't give anything away. Well, not to us anyway, but so that's the kind of thing that we started to look at above and beyond.
Right, yes.
Go ahead, Donna.
We went through the exact same thing where strategic sourcing was involved in the monetization of our various B-roll assets. So we had a lot of news footage, we had a lot of B-roll footage from all of our various shows that were in a format that wasn't necessarily usable. So the first thing that they brought us on board to do was, how can we convert this stuff? How can we digitize this stuff? What is the cost versus the return on investment, and can we sell this stuff? So, you know, you wouldn't think that division like sourcing that's typically, you know, getting three bids and awarding the vendor would be involved in something like the monetization of our archive assets, but we were, because we were doing the full cost analysis around, okay, if it costs this much to turn a, you know, old piece of film footage, whatever, into a digitized content, tag it with metadata, find out somebody who wants to buy that footage or that piece or that whole segment, whether it's you know, a news article from the San Francisco's, you know, Son of Sam stuff, that kind of stuff, where they're creating some kind of a feature film or made-for-TV content. All that stuff has a value, but does the cost involved in digitizing it and finding those hidden gems in millions of hours of footage, you know, worth that cost? And so that's something that the sourcing team actually was brought in to do. It was a very interesting project, and initially, you know, we're on phase one of it. We picked and plucked out time periods that were of newsworthy interest or of, you know, content-worthy interest, and we provided some information on that, and then they ran with it. So there's some sides where we're creating revenue, not just saving cost.
You've given us a game-changing perspective of purchasing that many of us think we know about. One of the words that you used was the word political stuck in my head. And I've just been wondering, when you have an industry where legacy of 110 years is so vitally important to us, when the relationships in movie making are paramount, how do you make strategic sourcing decisions? How do you implement what seems logical to you with those constraints of personality and relationships? Any one of you?
I think you need to be persistent.
Persistent?
Persistent. And of course, you need to be credible. You need to know what you're talking about. You need to do your homework. You need to be curious, of course, attending NAB or CES or HITS, for the matter, or any other, you know, expert conferences. For example, recently I attended for the first time a conference called MAU. It's called Mobile Apps Unlocked, and that deals with user acquisition. So in a word, where we're releasing more and more OTT, we're releasing more and more mobile games, and AT&T might also have this bigger mobile strategy than ever. I thought it was very important for us to understand what's going on. How do we acquire a subscriber to a mobile game or subscriber to HBO? What sort of technology is involved, and what sort of data and decision-making marketeers can be doing with that? So attending that conference recently was an eye-opener into a new world, into a world where you understand mobile attribution works differently than online attribution. You understand that you know, CRM notification is different. Fraud aspect is way bigger than the online aspects. So there's a lot of things that we're learning, and we're bringing that back to our stakeholders, which is an important part, because as much as our vendors are helping us to, you know, get up to speed into the learnings, we're bringing that back to the stakeholders and to the marketing folks, which now learns how to, you know, best select, you know, their tech partners in those areas, and make a better selection, not from a three-bid perspective, but more from a feature perspective. What is it that they're trying to solve with that technology, which is more important?
Any other?
Devendra, I just add,
yes, Leon.
You know, strategic sourcing solution will only be successful if they were resulting from a collaborative interaction with stakeholders. We have teams addressing publicity, media, physical post-production, and those always start the ideation as a team, and that way the solution has been fully vetted and everybody's on board to implement, and then they definitely will be successful.
Thank you.
If I can add, I think it's also a long game sometimes because, you know, you have to build the right and build the legitimacy. And I think, you know, starting out, I think it probably took me 2 years before I did my first production deal that I was allowed to actually take a look at a production deal. And that was fine because we had enough other things coming on. But I think what we had to do is, it is a complex political environment with a cast of characters like I've never seen before. So being that chameleon and saying, okay, we don't have to do an RFP for everything. If you want to take the lead, you take the lead, we'll take the back seat. If you want us to be the bad guys, we'll be the bad guys. And I think being that kind of chameleon in deal making is what makes, and making sure that they're successful. It's not us, we don't have the ego. It's not our deal that we're doing. We want them to stand up and say that they're successful. I think that's kind of where that gap needs to, you need to bridge that gap.
I think I have to concur with what Emma said, that, you know, we pretty much wear whatever hat the stakeholder needs us to wear. We, you know, okay, you want to maintain a great relationship with this vendor, you don't want to, you know, toe the hard line with them, all right, put on my black hat, you know, go to town, and pretty much, you know, if I have to rip a vendor on behalf of my stakeholder, I got to do it and, you know, bring the teeth out. But then this other vendor, you know, the stakeholder wants to be the one with the teeth and the grit. So I get to be nice cop, and I like that one much better. But it's always being transformative and being, you know, who the stakeholder needs you to be. And sometimes it's you know, playing the hardball and being, you know, having to make the tough call and saying the things that are, you know, very difficult to say, and sometimes even firing a vendor. And then sometimes it's, hey, let me help you figure this guy out. This is what this person needs from you. This, you know, and coaching them through how to be successful. But in the end, what we're trying to do really is make things work between, you know, the supplier and the stakeholder. And what actually I wanted to bring up, which is very interesting, is also bridging the gap between our business silos. I'm working with something right now that is just amazingly complex because I'm dealing with our broadcasters who have been working, you know, 30, 40 plus years. They know what they're doing. They're very good at what they do. And we're working with our CBS Interactive folks doing our OTT stuff, doing our, you know, live streaming stuff. And it's two completely different worlds and two completely different languages sometimes. And you have to get them to work nicely together. And then they wedge a vendor right in between, and they pretty much butt up against that vendor, and each of them pushes on this poor vendor sometimes. And so you have to be the champion of this vendor to help them succeed with the broadcaster and with the IT folks, and getting over this firewall or getting under this, you know, encoder, and all these different things that are in play together is what we kind of are traffic directing, so to speak. So it's a very fun and interesting role. Put a little bit of role play and acting into it, I believe, and we always have a little bit of fun with it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's really what Emma said, what our stakeholders need.
And Donna just mentioned a very important point about flexibility. Many people will say, strategic sourcing does a great job, but they take too long. I can't hang around that long. We've got to be flexible. There can't be a seven-step process that we need to follow, but each engagement has to be customized based on the needs of the stakeholders, when they want it, and what their requirements, what their final outcomes desired are.
I'm going to take a cue from Donna, and she asked a bunch of questions. I want to ask one question to get some additional value out of this conversation. Of all the suppliers in the room, how many of you would you kindly raise your hand and tell us, reach out to the strategic sourcing executive to pitch your solution as opposed to the CIO, the CTO, and the CMO? Would you raise your hands? Not many.
Crickets.
Not many.
Not everyone at once.
Not many.
Let me drop this mic right now.
Not many.
Just like that, right?
We might Therefore, my last question to them would be, this is a unique platform for exchange of ideas. What thoughts would you want to convey to them that will make this umbilical cord that exists between you and the suppliers and the technology enablers to be more effective, more efficient? Please, take a shot at it.
I think the one interesting thing that strategic sourcing does is we have a very unique perspective because we are looking, from my role, I was looking at the entire supply chain, not only from externally from a vendor base, but also from an internal standpoint. So that experience and that knowledge of how things work together, how things don't work together, is, I think, incredibly powerful. And the one thing I would definitely say, if I, you know, I could probably, I knew you were going to ask this question, but I can probably count on one hand how many times a vendor has ever said to us, you know, we're going to come in and present. How should we, who's the audience? What should the presentation look like? And yeah, all these important questions. And from a sourcing aspect, we have to internally sell all the time. So we're sometimes in the same position as you guys. So we know exactly what makes these stakeholders tick. We know what they do like, they don't like. And I think that is something that should be utilized more because we are, to Donna's point, we do bridge the gap between the creatives and the corporate groups. And we really know what's going on the inside and the outside.
Donna, is it a suggestion you would have for them?
So again, both to suppliers and to stakeholders, I got to quote Jerry Maguire and say, help me help you. I mean, that's entirely what we're here for. But if a stakeholder doesn't come to us, if a supplier doesn't come to us, we can't help you. But again, that's what we do. We advocate for our suppliers that are doing a good job but are running into problems. So if anything from, you know, not getting paid, that's a good one. They always love me when I help them get paid. Or technology challenges, getting through our firewall, trying to find the right person. Those are the things that we help suppliers with. On the on the stakeholder side, we're talking about, hey, this supplier's not responsive, and please don't ever not be responsive. That's one of the worst things to just, you know, let an email go. But, you know, everything from, well, we're not getting this information, not getting that information, and sometimes it's just orchestrating a conference call. I don't know how many times probably everybody on this panel here has probably put together a conference call and then just sat back and let them go. Because really, it's just about facilitating communication. But again, we can't do it without, you know, our stakeholders coming to us and telling us there's a problem, with our suppliers coming to us and telling us there's a problem. Or what I even love is if a supplier comes to us and says, hey, you're going to have a problem in 6 months because the FCC is doing this, or, you know, these regulations are doing that, or the UK is doing this. And they bring that to our attention, and then we can get ahead of it with possibly some of the solutions that they bring to the table. So again, we kind of try to be that conduit for information. But again, if you're not helping me, I can't help you.
I would agree, and I would add to that it's in our DNA as well to share information, share internally, connect the dots between all the companies and the various stakeholders, but also connect the dots between a vendor, let's say a new vendor that is coming like from a blockchain perspective that has an interesting service to provide to help advertiser like WB or publisher like Turner to make the advertising dollar workflow in a programmatic way better. I don't know if you heard the statistic that whenever an advertiser put $1 in programmatic media, there's only 20 cents working advertising dollar at the back end on the publisher side. So there's a vested interest from both constituent, advertiser and publisher, to make that advertising investment work better, and there are solutions for that. So we're also that facilitator of, we found a solution, let's bring the advertiser, the publisher together with the vendor and talk through what that solution could look like and make that, you know, conscious effort not to wait until publisher or advertiser calling us and say, we've got a problem, we're wasting our time and money here. We're very proactive in that sense.
You have the final word,
yeah,
Leon.
Yeah, again, encourage our suppliers to realize the buck stops here in terms of enterprise procurement information. I can tell you worldwide what every division, every production is doing in terms of their category needs and vendor needs, so that we can quickly identify where there could be a potential fit and benefits mutually between with a new partnership with you.
Can we have all the questions at lunch?
At lunch. That's it.
So be it.
Excellent.
Would you join me in applauding the great contribution of our panels here? Thank you so very, very much.
Thank you, Devendra. Thank you, Emma.